Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, 24 August, 2025, Romans.
One of the first hymn we sang, you notice the first line, I am sinking deep in sin. When I was at Dallas Seminary, one of Themy's weenies, he would take that and go, I am sinking deep in sin. Whee! Okay. As we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. Corrected translation, starting at verse 26. This is the groan of God the Holy Spirit. And in the same way, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, also helps, and that's a very special word. It's only used two times in the Bible. Sun antilambanomai, only two times. And it means to help, to come to the aid of someone, in this case, to come to the aid of that spiritually mature believer when he's going through intense, undeserved suffering. He himself gives a helping hand to our weaknesses, our undeserved suffering. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too great for words. And then verse 27, so far we have, and he, God the Father, the one who keeps on searching, investigating the hearts, and then we have the next phrase, knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit. This is the verb oida plus the interrogative pronoun tis plus the predicate nominative of phronema with the definite article plus the genitive singular of pneuma again with the definite article. Now our old friend oida, for those of you who are consistent and faithful, you got this one nailed down. O-I-D-A. Oida. And a couple of things on oida, of course. Point one, oida is a frozen form. A frozen form. It is a perfect that's used as a present. A perfect used as a present. Point two, the omniscience of God the Father has always known the omniscience of God the Holy Spirit. Now that shouldn't be too hard to figure out since they're members of the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have the exact same attributes and essence. So the omniscience of God the Father has always known the omniscience of God the Holy Spirit. So three, the omniscience of God the Holy Spirit is communicating with the omniscience of God the Father in this prayer, intercessory prayer. This magnificent, gracious, powerful prayer where God the Holy Spirit, that winner believer who is going, he's qualified for the greatest category of greater grace blessing ever. Undeserved suffering for blessing. And it's intense. And a lot of times in that intense, undeserved suffering for blessing, he's not able to pray for himself. But God the Holy Spirit, as it were, takes his hand and intercedes for him and goes right to the Father and prays for him and provides the most fantastic blessing for him in that undeserved suffering. So omniscience communicates with omniscience. Four, God the Father knows. Now, I'm going to tell you, here's what he knows. Tita phronema tu pneumatas. See, that's what he knows. We have an interrogative pronoun tis, and that means what. And then we have phronema, the noun which comes from the verb phroneo. Phroneo looks like that in the Greek. That's P-H-R-O-N-E, long O, phroneo. Now, there are two key words in the Koine Greek, the Greek of the New Testament scriptures, that are about thinking. And one is phroneo and the other is dokeo. And phroneo is the key word which we have, objective thinking. Objective thinking in contrast to dokeo. D-O-K-E long O, dokeo, that's subjective thinking. So phronema, which is what we have here in our phrase, comes from the verb phroneo, which is the verb for objective thinking, in contrast to dokeo, which is the verb for subjective thinking. So phronema is the objective thinking of God the Holy Spirit. The objective thinking of God the Holy Spirit. Now, point five. The Greek lexicon, Arnton Gingrich, page 874, says that in our verse, phronema refers specifically to the aim of God the Holy Spirit, the purpose of God the Holy Spirit, the aspiration of the Spirit, the striving of the Spirit. So, here we have phronema specifically refers to the aim and purpose of God the Holy Spirit. So six, this is God the Holy Spirit's purpose and aim in his intercessory ministry on behalf of the spiritually mature believer who is going through this intense, undeserved suffering. So this is God the Holy Spirit's aim and purpose in his intercessory ministry on behalf of that spiritually mature believer as he is going through intense, undeserved suffering. Seven, that aim and purpose is to turn that undeserved suffering of the winner believer into the greatest blessing derived from the adversity. That aim and purpose is to turn that undeserved suffering of the winner believer into the greatest blessing derived from adversity. Eight, God the Holy Spirit communicates with God the Father without using words. He doesn't have to use words. Now, if you're going to communicate with people here on earth, you got to use words. Now, I know some of you communicate without using words. You use... I know. I've had people communicate with me without using words, you know. I've been here... I've been here a long, long time. I've watched people come. I've watched people go. I've watched people with a a great, great, fantastic humility and respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches. I've seen great positive volition. And then I've seen people come in that are very arrogant and negative, and they've sat in the congregation for a while, and then they give me signals. They don't say anything. They give me signals like... And then they usually signal with their hands, you know, a different way. So there is a way you can talk with or communicate without words. But for the most of the time, we use words. God the Holy Spirit communicates with God the Father without using words. 9, the words do not have to be uttered for the omniscience of God the Father to pick up the thinking, the aim, the purpose of the omniscience of God the Holy Spirit. So the words do not have to be uttered for the omniscience of God the Father to pick up the thinking, the aim, the purpose of the omniscience of God the Holy Spirit. 10, the integrity of God the Father responds to this intercessory ministry of God the Holy Spirit as He provides great blessing for the spiritually mature believer going through undeserved suffering. The integrity of God the Father responds to the intercessory ministry of God the Holy Spirit, providing great blessing to that spiritually mature believer in his undeserved suffering. The winner believer walks in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here the first time, had lots and lots and lots of suffering. But he was the impeccable God-man, sinless perfection. He never even committed one sin. And yet he received suffering upon suffering upon suffering. And all of that was undeserved suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, when you live the spiritual life God has for us, when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, when you attain spiritual maturity, when you reach that point where you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, now you also get to walk in the steps of our Lord and receive undeserved suffering for blessing as He received undeserved suffering. So the integrity of God the Father responds to the intercessory ministry of God the Holy Spirit, providing great blessing to the spiritually mature believer in undeserved suffering. So, corrected translation, and He, God the Father, the one who keeps on searching, investigating the hearts, knows what the thinking of the Spirit is. He knows what the thinking of God the Holy Spirit is. And then the next phrase, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And if you want to know what how your prayers are really going to hit the bullseye, when you're praying according to the will of God. We have the conjunction hati plus the present active indicative of entuncano plus the prepositional phrase huper plus the genitive plural of hagios plus the prepositional phrase kata plus the accusative singular of theos. All right, our old friend hati. That's the letter H, a mouth breathing over the word. H-O-T-I, hati. Causal conjunction, correctly translated, because. Because. And then we have the verb entuncano. Looks like that in the Greek. That's E-N-T-U-N-C-H-A-N long O. Entuncano. All right, let's get a couple of points on this verb. It means to meet. It means to turn to. It means to approach. It means to appeal. It means also to petition in prayer. To petition in prayer. Two, in Romans 8:27, our verse, it means to make intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. Three, this is that very special intercessory ministry of God the Holy Spirit on behalf of the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer, in times of his intense, undeserved suffering. This is that very special intercessory ministry of God the Holy Spirit on behalf of the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer, when he is facing intense, undeserved suffering. And then we have the preposition huper. Looks like that in the Greek, H-U-P-E-R, huper. And huper means on behalf of, for the sake of someone or something. And then we have hagios. Now, this is a very important word. It's kind of neat how this word is used, this hagios. H-A-G-I-O-S. Hagios. Now, hagios is an adjective, and when it is an adjective, then it means dedicated to God, or holy, or sacred, when it's used as an adjective. It's also used as a noun. Now, and it's used as a noun here in our verse. When it's used as a noun, it depends on whether it's in the singular, or in the plural. If the noun hagios is in the singular, it's translated the Holy One. And the Holy One is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has a special title, the Holy One. That's when hagios is in the singular. When it's in the plural, it's used for two different categories. First of all, in the plural, it refers to elect angels. Elect angels are called the Holy Ones. That's one of the times. The other time, which is how it's used in our verse, in the plural, it refers to the saints, believers. And here it's used for church-age saints or believers. And then we have kata plus the accusative of theos. Kata plus the accusative. And then theos. Kata, K-A-T-A. Theos, T-H-E-O-S. So kata plus the accusative of theos. Now, kata plus the accusative means according to a norm or standard of. According to the norm and standard of something. Here, it's according to the norm and standard of God. Theos, God. According to the norms and standards of God, or according to the norms and standards of the will of God. And that's what it means here. And he, God the Father, the one who keeps on searching, investigating the hearts, knows what the thinking of the Spirit is, God the Holy Spirit, because he, God the Holy Spirit, makes intercessory prayer on behalf of the saints, When are believers, specifically in our context, according to the norm and standard of the will of God? According to the will of God. So, again, and he, God the Father, the one who keeps on searching and investigating the hearts, and he does that for all mankind, knows what the thinking of the Spirit is, God the Holy Spirit, because he, the Holy Spirit, makes intercessory prayer on behalf of the saints according to the norm and standard of the will of God. All right, one. God the Holy Spirit is perfect as the third person of the Trinity, of course. God the Holy Spirit is perfect, and therefore his intercessory prayer on behalf of the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer, who is going through intense, undeserved suffering, is also perfect prayer, a perfect prayer. So God the Holy Spirit, who is perfect, therefore his intercessory prayer on behalf of the spiritually mature believer who is going through intense undeserved suffering, that prayer is also perfect prayer. Two, God the Father always answers the prayers of God the Holy Spirit 100% affirmative. God the Father always answers the prayers of God the Holy Spirit 100%. Yes. Three, this intercessory ministry of God the Holy Spirit is responsible for turning the intense, undeserved suffering of the spiritually mature believer into great, great blessing. This intercessory ministry of God the Holy Spirit is responsible for turning the intense, undeserved suffering of the spiritually mature believer into great, great blessing. Well, there's the three groans. I hope it was as much of a blessing for you as it was for me in studying it. Absolutely fantastic. One of the most unique passages in the New Testament. Now we go on to Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. We always start with the King James. And why do I always start in the King James? Well, Billy Graham was here in Las Vegas a couple of times, and when he came here, he had a big giving of the gospel, and place was filled up. And when, you know, he had them come forward, all these people went down front. Well, Upland Bible Church, me and many of the people in the congregation, the face-to-face congregation, we signed up to follow up on those that came forward. So, I had a list of those people that went forward, and I went to this one fellow's house and came in. I said, "Well, I understand you were at the Billy Graham crusade." "Yes, I was." "And you went forward?" "Yes, I did." I said, "Well," and I started to pull out a Bible. He said, "Wait a second. What kind of Bible is that one?" I said, "Well, this is a NASV." "Oh. No, no. You got anything else in there?" "Well, pull another one out." "This is the NIV." "No, no. You have a King James Bible?" I go, "I didn't bring it with me." "Well, the only one, King James, if it's good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me." You know? I said, "I stand corrected." "No, okay. Next time I'll bring my King James when I'm following up with you." So we start with the King James, and we know that this is the post-positive conjunction de plus the verb oida once again with the conjunction ha ti. The post-positive conjunction de. Now this is very important. Not a conjunction of contrast. D-E. The conjunction de is what is known as the emphatic or intensive use of de. Paul is saying, we are dealing with a point of doctrine that is very, very important. And I want you to pay attention. I want you to concentrate now. And so he uses the emphatic or intensive use of de. And it should be translated, in fact. In fact. And that's how we'll translate. In fact. And then we have our old friend oida again. That frozen form, perfect used as a present. Oida says that you have learned the word of God in the past with the result that you know the word of God now in the present. Oida is putting the spotlight on the spiritually mature believer who has a maximum amount of the word of God in his heart. You see, you have your Bibles there, and that's great. I'm glad you have your Bibles there in your lap, and you're taking notes. Some of you are taking notes. That's great. But the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So it doesn't say, thy word have I hid in my notebook that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So oida is putting the spotlight on the spiritually mature believer who has maximum amount of the word of God in his heart. He's learned it. He believes it. He's living his life by it. And oida is a verb of decendi. It means to know. So hati introduces an object clause. It introduces what the winner believer knows. And therefore you translate it that. In fact, we, spiritually mature believers, we know that, and now here it is. How many times have you heard this? All things work together for good. Now, I've heard a lot of different people. I even heard unbelievers say that. All things work together for good. They stop right there. Does God stop there? No. All things work together for good. To whom? To them that love God. To them that love God. Now there's a lot of believers in America. A lot of Christians in America. Unfortunately, today in the time in which we live, a lot of those Christians, they don't love God. They love themselves. They love themselves. They love money. They love the details of life. They love all these things, but they don't love God. The winner believer loves the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. So all things work together for good for those who love God. Now that's a pretty small group of believers in America today, those who love God. Most believers love everything else but God. So here's the key. All things work together for good for those who love God. Okay. Now we ought to hit into high gear, except you got to come back next week if you want to know what this means, all right? So that we'll close with this, head with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.